Hey guys, welcome back to Cozy Room Podcast. My name is Shan. I am the mom of the girls. This is an important episode. Just a disclosure, I am discussing things that are sometimes triggering, but sensitive and explicit to an extent. So if you think your child is not ready to listen to this, or you need to listen to this in private, please put on your headphones. This is not for a big office discussion or a listening to. Definitely listen to at your own discretion. Just letting you know. So I'll give you time before I continue. So cold outside today. All right, I think the coast is clear. I think you put in your headphones. Great. This is Cozy One Podcast, and today I want to talk about parents, guardians, adults making the start of talking about sexual abuse okay, right? Let's start there, because it seems like when people want to talk about sexual abuse, whether it happened to other people or happened to them personally, it's like a feeling of shame comes with the fact that you're bringing it up. It's a real thing. It affects men and women. It affects boys and girls. It affects people secondhand. So like, let's say if I had a cousin or I had a sister or I had a brother that was sexually abused, it affects me. If I had a mom or a dad that was sexually abused, it affects me. If I have a spouse that was sexually abused, it affects me. Now, how does it affect you? Might be different across the board. But a lot of how my mom treats people and treats her kids is based upon her experience when she was younger being sexually abused. Okay, a lot about my experience and how I have relationships and how I treat people is through my experience with that also. A lot of men hide the fact that they were sexually abused, whether it was recent or as kids, because I think when it comes to anything sexually, it's looked at as men as some type of honor or triumph, when in reality, sexual abuse can happen to anyone at any age. How does it affect you? Matters. How you deal with it? Matters. And I think there's a lot of people not dealing with it or hiding it or masking it or avoiding it. And I think when you avoid your past experiences, you don't deal with them. So you learn how to be secretive as adults. You learn how to be guarded. You learn how to put up a facade when you're okay, but you're not okay. And not talking about it with your kids, I feel like, leaves them exposed to the possibilities of it. Not telling them how to keep themselves safe when you're not around leaves them exposed. Not talking to your daughters about, yes, you do have the option of wearing this over that. But let's think about where you're going. Let's think about you getting there and you coming home. Let's think about the activities that you'll be doing. And let's think about, if I was a stranger and I saw you, what would I assume? And I think it's very valid to have those type of discussions in front of your daughters, with your daughters, and in front of your sons. Because this whole mindset of, if I had a daughter, I'd tell them like this. If I had a son, I'd tell them like this. It's what's making us clash as adults, because everybody's growing up with a different teaching of how to present yourself, how to protect yourself, how to honor yourself, how to respect yourself, how to present yourself, how to respect someone saying no, how to apply pressure, quote unquote. that's a conversation that needs to be had in front of a boy and a girl, a man and a woman. Because a lot of men think they're out here applying pressure and they're really harassing women. A lot of boys think they're out here applying pressure and they're really pressuring young girls to show them, do things to them, or present themselves in a way where they're not mentally there. A lot of grown men are manipulating little girls, teenage girls, young women because of status, because of money, because nobody told them the ways that a man will woo you at the beginning and then later on have these demands because of what he did. You have to teach kids, like, what does it look like when somebody's trying to manipulate you? What does it look like when somebody's trying to get you alone? What does it look like when slowly but surely all of my friends start to leave a party, but I'm the only one in the room, I'm outnumbered, and there's more guys here than girls? What does it look like when I came here with a group of friends and most of the men left and I'm the man at the party, or I'm in the room while girls are like changing and getting dressed, but I was here first? You get up and you leave. There is no, I was here first, they just started doing X, Y, and Z. You control what's in your environment most of the time. And you have to teach your kids that they control what's happening in their environment most of the time, in certain instances, right? When you're a child and you're in a room of adults, definitely you don't control that. But if, let's say, you're younger than the older kids in the room or the teenagers in the room, and somebody left them in charge to watch you or tell you what to do, and you can't leave, you are kind of trapped, right? And a lot of people think that they're doing the right thing by letting the older sibling watch the younger kids, or letting the uncle watch the kids, or letting the aunt watch the kids. But a lot of times, we're just related to people who are not family. A lot of the times, the one that you left in charge is actually doing the most harm to the people in the home, to the people in the apartment. The one that you left in charge of the classroom is actually picking out the weakest link to see what they can do to them and keep it a secret. So if you don't have these discussions about these things that could happen, may have not happened, hope they don't happen, but this is also a possibility, and you cannot trust all adults. You cannot trust all teenagers. You cannot trust all the people that you are related to. You cannot trust sometimes the older sibling that's in the room. This is how you protect yourself. It is okay for you to tell me anything and everything. I will listen first before I respond. If you facilitate that type of communication earlier on, I think you'll allow kids to want to tell you what's going on. But if you hide from it or you shut down when your child is trying to tell you what happened to them, what somebody did to them, how somebody made them feel uncomfortable, how they were asked repeatedly to sit on someone's lap, how they go to take a shower and all of a sudden this person has to use this bathroom all the time, or instead of them knocking, they never knock, they just come in here usually when I'm getting dressed, you know what I'm saying? Or they ask to see what type of bra I'm wearing today, or they ask to see what type of underwear I'm wearing today, or when I was at the bus stop or I was on the bus, this boy that's always loud on the bus is always trying to look up my skirt. Like, if you don't allow your kids to tell you that without you first yelling, cutting them off, getting upset, they're going to learn that they can't tell you things. They're going to learn that they can't tell you things. And unfortunately, there are a lot of parents who feel like my child is a straight A student. They're at the top of their class. They're great in sports. Their coach loves them. Their classmates love them. That couldn't happen to my daughter. That couldn't happen to my son. A lot of athletic, straight A kids are doing a lot of things in their phone that is for adults. A lot of your kids with smartphones have a lot of naked pictures of themselves in that phone, sending it to complete strangers. Videos, sending it to complete strangers. And a lot of you guys think because you talk about it enough, my kid is not going to do that. You show them examples of what happens to people that do that, my kid is not going to do that. No, you need to check those phones. You need to check that computer history. You need to check those iPads. Okay? Some kids have this illusion that it will not happen to them. And they end up in the worst positions. Some people have this illusion that if I can't be there, I know their teacher's there. And that's a great teacher. It might be a great teacher, but it can also be a predator. It might be a great principal, but it can also be a predator. It might be a great coach, but that coach can also be abusing kids. Because if you think about it as a parent, and if we work, we spend less time with our kids throughout the year than teachers do. Teachers spend more time with your kids if they're going to school. If you're homeschooling them, this doesn't apply to you. But most of the time, teachers spend more time with your kids. Devices spend more time with your kids than you do. So the way that you make sure you're showing up in all of those spaces when you physically cannot is mentally, emotionally, spiritually, right? But in order to have those type of connections. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this show and enjoy this episode. I know I'm dropping gems for y'all. I know I am, because that's just what I do. I appreciate every listen and every download and every share. So if you see me clipping on social media, share that shit, because I appreciate it. Speaking of sharing, not only are you supporting this podcast, but you're supporting all the other podcasts that I do that can be found on shambipodden.com. That is a website where I put everything that I'm working on, whether it's books, whether it's merch, whether it's links to support me or support the people who support me. It can be found on that website. Also, there is a monthly, it's like a newsletter, but it's not really a newsletter because I'm not emailing y'all with y'all spam emails that y'all don't even check anyway. But if you want any updates regarding podcasting tips or what I have going on, every month I give a updated, detailed what's going on with me info on that website. I also blog on that website, so I might create different articles on that website. Sharing those links helps support me. So if you're looking to support me, do that. I also do other podcasts that can be found on there. Each podcast has their own page. I am working on a lot of other collaborations this year, and you can find me on some people's live shows this year. You know, just staying busy, Shambi Podden, okay? You can email me about business, okay? My email can be found on that website, because I know how some people get, okay? I am here to create and to share knowledge. That is what I do. Everyone around me is great. Therefore, if you listen to me, you are searching for greatness, and I appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to follow me, add me, and check out Shannon Pods on YouTube. Sometimes I do video record my episodes, but not all the time, because I'm just not that girl. My audience is not on YouTube, but I know some people like the YouTube spaces. But back to the show.
Because you have to have certain discussions with your kids, because if you don't, they're going to think that thing that is currently happening to me doesn't happen to other people, so nobody will understand, so I can't share it. But the reality is, if we have 10 kids, right, or if we have 10 adults, and we ask those 10 adults how many of them has ever experienced sexual abuse from someone, probably about 7 of them will say me. That's the reality of it. And the number is high because most people are not comfortable explaining that. Most people are not comfortable speaking up. Most people do not make a safe place for people to bring that up. Most people say, oh, that's family business, or that's personal, or you can't talk about that here. I want my relationship with my kids to be where you can talk to me about anything. You can tell me if somebody made you uncomfortable. You can tell me if somebody touched your body part and you didn't want them to. You can tell me if that cousin's house that we go to most of the time, you don't feel comfortable going over there because X, Y, and Z happened. I'm the type of person where, because of the experiences I've had growing up, I try to make sure my kids never have to experience the cons of how I grew up, the limits of that I had when I was growing up. And sometimes, not so much now, but earlier on, I used to feel guilty, like, am I holding my kids back because I try to shield them from so much? Am I limiting my kids from experiencing being closer to family because I limit them being places a lot and me not being around or me not being available? But I'm at a point where I'm just like, my kids eventually are going to get to an age where they understand why I did what I did, why I limited what I limited, why I didn't buy what they wanted me to buy, why I didn't let them go where they wanted to go, why I didn't leave them at different people's houses all the time, why I wasn't like, oh, it's Friday, I'm gonna drop my kid off here or here or here, and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna do me, and then maybe sometime on Sunday I'll go pick them up, maybe sometime on Saturday I'll go pick them up. I feel like my kids later on will appreciate the fact that I'm not that mom, because I know what happens to kids when certain adults are not around. Certain parents are not around. Certain conversations are not had. I know what it's like to be in a child's mind and think, oh, this person is this to me. They won't do this to me. I'm doing this episode to say, start talking. Whether it's your experience, whether it's somebody else's experience, whether it's a possibility that it might happen in today's time, whether you don't think your child is old enough, let me tell you something. 5 is a great age to start having these conversations. 6, 7, 8 is when most sexual abuse happens, if not earlier. Okay? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 is when most children become sexually active, whether it's through manipulation, whether it's through sexual abuse, whether it's through molestation, or whether it's just through a child not having that parental guidance, to know this is not okay, this is okay. Like, if you just keep sending your children outside to go play with other children and you don't know what's happening in other children's households, and you just think they're okay, they're outside playing. No, they're outside exploring. And I'm not just talking playgrounds. They're outside going to such and such house because it's just right there next to the park. They're outside going through building basements, trying to convince girls to do this, trying to convince that one boy to do this, trying to see what it's like to kiss because they saw it on TV. Like, stop being aloof to what's really happening, to what our kids are truly exposed to. You can't go on Netflix and not see a sexual idea or some type of push to be physical with another person. Like, kids know what's going on. They might not be able to say the exact name. They might not be able to say when this happens. They might not be able to say what this truly means biologically, but kids know that there is adult things happening that I can't go to my mom and say, that I can't go to my dad and say. And I want men and women, fathers and mothers, to stop having this illusion that I can't talk to my son about this because I'm not a guy, or I can't talk to my daughter about this because I'm not a woman. Fathers need to know what's going on with their daughters' bodies just as much as a mother needs to know. Mothers need to know what's going on with their sons' bodies just as much as a father needs to know. Stop allowing this space to be in between you because your child's body is changing. Because your child now has boobs. Stop thinking you can't play with your kid. Stop thinking you can't hug your kid. Stop thinking you can't comment on something they're doing or something they're wearing. You know? And a lot of people do that out of their insecurities with themselves. Out of when they look at their kids that are growing, that their bodies are changing, they see their young self. You know what I'm saying? And if you're a man and you remember when you were your son's age, what you were thinking, and you're not having a conversation about it, you're doing your child a disservice. If you look at your daughter as a woman and you think about what you were thinking at their age or what you experienced at their age and you never had a conversation with them about it, you're doing your child a disservice. You have to start unshaming discussions like that very young so you can allow your kid, if they ever come close to an experience like that, to tell you, to warn you. So you can do what you need to do to stop that. So you could confront who you need to confront before they ruin someone's life. Because honestly, my mom is about to be 72 this year, and my mom still deals with the results of her being sexually abused. My oldest brother deals with the results of her being sexually abused every day. And I feel like that's a big reason why they don't have the best relationship, because I think my oldest brother goes through moments where he doesn't know if he was actually wanted. And I think he has insecurities of being actually wanted by a woman. And because my mom hasn't 100% dealt with her experience, she doesn't fully empathize with him on that correctly. And I feel like that's the issue in their relationship. But I'm not going to speak for him and I'm not going to speak for her. But from the outside looking in, looks like I'm right. And people think, oh, what happened to me as a kid is not affecting how I treat people. It is. What happened to me as a kid is not affecting how close I am with my husband or my wife. It is. What happened to me as a kid is not affecting my relationship with my kids. It is. Indirectly or directly. I know what happened to me as a kid for years affects how I have relationships with people. I know it affects how I allow my kids to mingle with other kids or mingle with friends or go to friends' houses or be around quote unquote family. I know it affects them. Even like the way I don't like men being overly nice to me stems from that. The way I don't like people staring at me too long or admiring me comes from that. So have the conversation and make it a comfortable, safe place for them to start or for you to start. But stop avoiding the elephant in the room. Let's lower these numbers of how many people have experienced sexual abuse by making the conversation okay to have. Stop shunning people because of what happened to them. And stop making people who have abused people over years, over decades, feel comfortable being in spaces where they shouldn't be welcomed. And I'm definitely not a person that believes just because they did this 10 years ago or just because they did this 15 years ago doesn't mean they do it again. I feel like whenever someone has developed a habit that they feel like is okay at any time, if the right opportunity presents itself, they will do it again. Nobody's going to change that mindset in me. they will do it again. So I'm someone like, if I see something that shouldn't be happening, if I know somebody did something, I'm cool on you. Stay away from me and I stay away from you. But if we don't know who these people are, we can't help our kids. We can't help ourselves. If we don't speak up for the experiences that we have, we cannot help kids. So whether you're a teacher, a principal, someone at a bus stop, you see the change in a child's behavior, a mom, a dad, an uncle, an auntie, a cousin. Even if you realize a shift in how your kids might play with their mom all of a sudden, or how your kids might play with their dad all of a sudden, or how they avoid. Pay attention to that. Ask questions. You got to ask questions. You got to make a space to where people feel comfortable asking you questions and getting answers. And if you don't know how to start that conversation, then it is your job as a parent to figure out how to start that conversation, because it has to be had to prevent and protect. My name is Shan. Thank you so much for listening. Because I'm doing a season on teens, a lot of these topics had to be explored. I couldn't finish a season on teens without exploring these topics. So I'm sorry if some of it is triggering for some people, but this doesn't just affect teens. This affects, toddlers, you know what I'm saying? 5 through 9 year olds, 10 to 13 year olds and up. You have to talk. You have to make kids feel okay hearing and acknowledging that these things do happen, so they can make sure it doesn't happen to them. That's how we stop repeating a cycle. But you can find me at shambipodden.com, the Cozy Womb Podcast. You might see on Instagram there's 2 pages. One of the pages is like an old picture. That's my old page that got hacked. Do not follow that page. If you are following that page, please switch. The CZYWMB pod or podcast is what you can find on Twitter and IG. And you can email me at cozywombpod. I think that's the email, at gmail.com. Look it up in the show notes. And you can find me on social media if you want to DM me. If you have any questions, please let me know. But yeah, kids is constant work. And if you're not working on yourself and you have kids, it's challenging. But I feel like you can raise a beautiful family and have a beautiful family and a beautiful relationship with your partner, as long as you're willing to work through your shit. Okay? Thank you for so much for listening to Cozy Womb Podcast. Yeah. Woo!